Would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to continue in those five verses that we began in John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Our concentration is going to be on those first three verses today. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? You recall that last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how God has made us overcomers. Amen? If you're an overcomer, I want you to say, "That's me." I hope everybody was able to say that. Because when you come to know Christ Jesus, he says that you're immediately an overcomer because the Holy Spirit of God is within you. Amen? This is God's Word. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen? And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now what's the world? Is that the place we live? No. What is the world he's talking about? He's talking about not the world of the earth and the dirt and the sky, but he's talking about the world of the spirit, and he's talking about Satan's world, the world that has rejected God. He says that for whatever is born of God overcomes what? The world, Satan and his hordes. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So much here. That's why we've broken it up into several weeks. Would you join me as we pray? Father, your word is a light unto our path. Would you help us, Lord, not just to read it, but to heed it. And Lord, to obey it. We need your help. For Father, this is impossible in our strength, but all things are possible in you. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Last couple of weeks, we were talking about believers and overcomers. Believers overcome the world, the system of Satan and of evil. Believers also overcome Satan himself. Amen. We overcome the world, the system, but we must also overcome the devil. He is our adversary, amen? Listen, you've got an enemy, whether you think you do or not. You say, well, I just get along with everybody. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. Believers are to overcome Satan because greater is he who is in us, the believers, than he who is in what? The world. We know what the world is now. And believers not only overcome the world and Satan, but they overcome death. Praise God, we do not have to fear death. Now, the question we come to in all of these things is this. If my ultimate victory is so assured, if it's so real, why do I sometimes lose battles? Amen? If the ultimate victory is mine, if I'm an overcomer, why do I find my face in the dirt so much? Why do I struggle so much? I'm going to tell you why. The answer is because of our flesh. Amen? We are flesh and blood. We succumb to the corruption of our own hearts. We yield to Satan. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. But even with our failure, we're going to talk about this one again today, even with our failures, God still loves me. Then maybe I should say it this way. Even with my failures, God still loves me. I am assured of that. Now listen, my friend, are you assured of that? Even with your failures, God still loves you. And we can be overcomers because God not only wants us to be victorious, he gives us not just a vision of victory, he gives us a battle plan for victory. And that's what we're talking about. We've discussed that first mark of an overcomer, that it's a doctrinal test, if you will, and that is that we believe the truth of Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel. We believe what God gave us in his word, and we hold it in our heart as full truth. Today, we're going to go to the second mark of an overcomer, and that is the love of God. loving God and loving his people. Let me read again for you those first three verses. He said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one from God, the anointed one, in other words, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. So in other words, if we love God, we love who? One another. One another. We love each other. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, there's so much there, I'm not even going to try to cover it all today, okay? So relax. I want you to enjoy this part of it, and I want you to absorb as much as you can. Because you see, the second mark of knowing God and being an overcomer is that you love God, that you have a love relationship with God the Father, that you have a love relationship with Jesus Christ, his Son. You see, here's the truth. Being born again, literally being spiritually born again, brings people into a faith relationship with God. But God doesn't want you to stop there. You say, well, what's greater than faith? I'm going to tell you what's greater than faith. The love of God. You know, the scripture says that we need to have faith in him, but how can you have faith in him if you don't really love him? God, the creator of all things, wants a love relationship with you. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're talking to everybody except the person sitting in my seat. No, I'm talking to you. Every person here, God wants a love relationship with you. We know he does. Why do we know that he does? Because the greatest commandment, as he shared not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the greatest commandment is recorded in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, where he said, and the greatest commandment is this, say it with me, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and we can add with all the others, all of our strength. Love the Lord our God. That's the greatest commandment. God created you for a purpose. And that purpose is for fellowship with himself. You are and you are called to glorify God. And the greatest way that you can glorify God is to love him. To love him with all of your heart. That's your purpose. To love God. And a love relationship with the Lord your God should be real with you, and it should be personal. Not just one of these apple pie in the sky things, oh, I'm going to love God by and by, but I love God right now. Here's a question for you. Pretend it's just you and me in this room for just a moment, would you? If you were to stand before God, and God says, do you love me? And if you were to try to describe your relationship with him, would you be able to say, God, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my soul. I love you with all my mind. I love you with all my strength. God, I just love you. I'm going to say that many of you today, many of you here in this very room who know Christ as Lord and Savior, many of you could say, yes, God, I serve you. Amen. You can say, yes, God, I worship you. God, I fear you. But could you actually say that you love him? Does that describe your heart before God, that you love God? Folks, if anything, or should I say, if everything in your life seems to be out of order and messed up, it's probably because God's basic purpose for your life is missing. And that's loving God with all your heart. Why? Because God created you for a love relationship. Stop. God created you for a love relationship. Now, from this half over right here, I want you to tell them what's going on. Why did God create them? For a what? I'm not sure they got it. From this half over, I want you to tell that half, why did God create you for a what? If you forget everything else that I say today, don't you dare forget that. God created you for a love relationship. You know, I could summarize the entire Old Testament in just a couple of little verses, and we've already shared it. It's that brief passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that is quoted throughout the rest of the Bible by Jesus and by others, and that is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You could sum up the entire Old Testament that way. And guess what? That's the heart cry of God in the New Testament too. God doesn't change. And somebody says, oh, I'd rather learn about the God of the New Testament than the Old Testament. My gracious, you're talking about the same God. Why does God tell us the things he tells us to do? Because he wants us to love him. And by the way, he wants us to love only him as God. Everything, listen to this. Everything in your Christian life, that's everything. Everything about knowing God and experiencing God, everything about knowing God's will, not just for your life, but God's will, depends on the quality of your love relationship with him. What do all these things depend on? Your what? Love relationship with him. If that's not settled, then nothing in your life is going to be right. And you may be wondering, why is it I just can't seem to do things right in the church? I can't seem to get along with the church. I can't seem to get along with God. I can't seem to get to do things like I should. I don't really enjoy the word. I don't enjoy preaching. I don't enjoy teaching. Listen, I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't love God. Because if you loved God, you would love to learn about him. Amen? Your heart would be thirsty for the word. You would be hungry for the word. Picture something with me, will you? That you are in a well that is infinitely deep. And you have a ladder now that is infinitely tall. And maybe you would just say it's as tall as long as your life is, okay? And it's leaning against a wall. There's a wall here and a wall here and a wall here and a wall there. And you lean that ladder against the wall. And that ladder represents your life, your goals in life, what you do in life. And let's just say that the process of climbing that ladder represents your entire life. Wouldn't it, dear friend, be a tragedy if at the end of your climb, at the end of your years and decades of life, you get to the top and you look over the top and find that your ladder was leaning against the wrong wall? That's exactly what happens when you spend your life seeking anything except a love relationship with the Father. And with his Son, with his Holy Spirit. Because the Word tells us that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and ladder, and strength. One life. You climbed the ladder of life. You had one life and you missed it. My question for you, is your ladder on the right wall? Is your ladder leaning on God? And are you using those step by step, that day by day, to grow closer and more in love with God? Is your heart and life God-centered, God-climbing, instead of self and world-climbing? You must be properly related to the Lord your God. You must have a love relationship with him. That's why you were created. You weren't created for this world. You were created for a love relationship with God. Dear friend, your walk with God is the single most important aspect of your life. Why don't we treat it that way? If it's not as it should be, then nothing else will function properly. And dear friend, get this. God loves you with an everlasting love. And to be loved by God is the highest relationship. It is the greatest achievement. And it is the most noblest position in life. God, dear friend, look at me. God, dear friend, is all you need. We say it all the time, don't we? We say it all the time. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart. We sing it, don't we? Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing it, but do we mean it? If you could have only one thing or the other, let me ask you, would you rather have Jesus than silver and gold? Would you rather have Jesus than riches untold? Would you rather have Jesus than houses and land? Would you rather have Jesus than men's applause? Would you rather have Jesus than to be a king? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Do you know that song? You can sing it with me. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Can you say it and mean it? What would you rather have, Jesus or the world? Do you really want to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Now listen, I realize that for me, that my efforts to love God are puny sometimes at best. But do you really want to love God? Do you really seek Him? Do you really try to follow Him? Did you know that your God, our God, my God is a jealous God? He will have no other competitors. Not money, not stuff, not things, not fame, not popularity, not power, not authority. After all, our Lord God says, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, He says, no one can serve two masters. Amen? Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can look a little further in that very same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, and in verses 31 through 33, it teaches us that God will provide everything that we need. It never says He will provide everything we want. Well, I'd like a boat with a really nice crappie rig, right? I want a brand new car. I want a bigger house. I want a great lawn. We could go on. He says that He will provide everything we, what? Need when we love Him and Him alone. When we love Him, what? First, it says. Why is it so urgent? Listen. Why is it so urgent that we love Him here? Why is it so important? You're going, well, if I believe in Him and I'm going to get to heaven, why is it so important that I learn to love Him here so much when I can just love Him there for eternity? Let me tell you why it is so important that you love Him here. because this world is passing away. Amen? You don't need to be loving something that is temporary. You are, dear friend, listen, created for eternity. You are created to live forever. If you are living forever, isn't it important then that you make sure you are focusing on what will be forever? You are created for eternity. God did not create you for time. He created you for His eternity. Time is what we have here on this earth, and it is very limited. You know why time is given to you here? And why time is given to you now? It's given that in so that you might become acquainted with God here, so that you can love Him all the more there. This is the seed. That is the growth. This time on this earth provides occasions for Him to develop in you a character. Some of you are characters. Some of us are characters. But what God wants to develop in me and what God wants to develop in you is godly character. Why? So that you can serve Him well for eternity, because your time on this earth is the preparation time for what He's going to give you in eternity, because you are going to serve Him there. I can't help but think of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, where I think it was Huckleberry who told the widow Douglas, he said, "I don't want to just sit around on a cloud forever. Neither do I. Boring. Is that what God has for you? To just sit around and float around heaven forever? I don't think so. That's not what God's word says. It says that you have been faithful in a few things here. He is going to put you over what? Many things there. You're going to have a purpose, and it's still going to be the same as it is right here. And that is to glorify God by loving Him with all your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is your purpose. Your time here on this earth is for us to be made in His likeness, for us to become more and more like Him. And then, and only then, will eternity hold its fullest dimension for you, because you're more like Him here. If you only live for the here and now, if you only live for time, you are going to miss the ultimate purpose of creation. Your ladder is going to be against the wrong wall. Your life is going to be concentrated in the wrong direction. You will allow your past to shape your future. Your life today should be shaped by the future. In other words, you should be able to see ahead, because God's words tells what is coming. And He says, you will be with Me and you will be in glory and you will serve Me and you will be Mine and I will be yours. And so our time here should not be reflected by our hurting in the past and by our dumb things in the past and our sin in the past, but it should be affected by our future. And we should say, that's what I'm building for, is what God is preparing for me in heaven. Your life, my life, should be shaped not by yesterday, but by our someday. Amen? And someday can be today with Christ, because He says He will not hold us here without His presence. And with His presence, you get His blessing. God uses your experience, my experience, here on this earth to mold us for future usefulness. Not just on this earth, but He does that. Amen? He uses things that you've been through to help you to minister to others. Amen? He does that. But He's also going to help you to be useful not only on earth, but in eternity. What you've gone through here is going to shape your ability to serve Him there. Can I ask you a question? What in your life is limiting your ability to surrender to God today? What's keeping you from serving Him? Whatever it is, it's keeping you from God's fullness today. What past hurt are you holding on to? What problem are you holding on to that's keeping you in bondage to the world instead of to God? What handicaps are you holding on to, or are you claiming? A troubled family? A background that's not real great? Failures? Join the group, because we've all got them. Shame over a personal failure? Maybe shame over a family failure or secret. Past abuse? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's success. You have too much to depend on God. Fame, recognition, wealth. Are these things that are shaping you and influencing your world today? Or are you going to allow God to shape you today for your future? You know, we read it in God's Word and we studied it just a few weeks ago. I don't know how long ago it was. It seems recent. But we studied 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, remember what it said? Let me read it for you. It says, do not love the world. Hello? We know what the world is again, right? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. It says the world is passing away along with its desires. The old world, the world is what? Passing away. Do you know what passing away means? That's an easy way for us to say what? It's going to die. The world is going to die along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Ever. Are you being shaped by your past? Or are you being shaped by your future for what you will be? We all have a victory there, every one of us. Are you being shaped by the love of the world? Or are you being shaped by God? You know what my trouble is? My trouble is that I can't seem to keep my eyes off of the world. I wonder if any of you have that problem. You know, I'm probably the only one in here, right? I'm probably the only one standing behind a pulpit here today that has that problem. But I'm not the only one here who struggles with that. Our trouble seems to be that we keep our eyes on the world, and it causes us to lose focus. Amen? It causes us to lose focus on the kingdom of God. It causes us to lose focus on the future, and we start looking at our background, and we start looking at behind us, and we start looking at the sin, and we start looking at the world, and we start looking at the stuff. And we spend our time on what we love. And we come to love what we spend our time on, don't we? Would you pray with me? Can we stop? Pray with me, won't you? Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, would you help me to hear you? Would you help us to hear you? God, I pray that this prayer would be lifted up by every person hearing this, Lord, that they would pray to you now and say, God, help me to hear you. Help me to be drawn to you. Help me, Lord God, to love you. Amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, can I ask you, can you describe your relationship with God by saying that you love him with all your being. Do you love God with all your being? Do you want to? If you cannot describe it that way, and if you have not really had a desire for that, would you ask God to help you right now? Please, would you pray to the Lord God, and would you ask him, ask the Holy Spirit to bring you into that kind of relationship with God? Amen. Will you do it right now? God, help me to love you. God, bring my desire to love you. Pull me away from the world, God, and pull me to you. Amen. God, pull me to you. Will you ask him that right now? This is our time of invitation, that you would draw close to God so that he would be close to you.